the Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
We don't need no thought control.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Stand With Ukraine Monday edition. Your phone calls, they're always appreciated at 844-967-2789. For all you big Dom fans, he'll be coming along shortly. Although Dirty Dom's kind of been replaced by President Zelensky. All the women have a new crush. It's Zelensky. It's not Dom anymore. So, you know, his need may be diminished in some strange way. We'll see. We'll see.
I think he'll figure it out.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to throw out some polling. And then because I've promised, I jumped into the archives and I pulled out an interview that we had with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. The date was February 6, 2020. And the occasion was the day after Ron had voted twice to acquit Donald Trump, you know, for the very perfect phone call to the Ukrainian president, Zelensky. I need a favor, though. Sort of the mobby quid pro quo. And, you know, they had a House impeachment trial, and he was, what, they referred it to the Senate. I guess you impeach in the House, you refer to the Senate. And guys like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said, well, you know, we don't really, really need any witnesses. Even though Ron could have specifically been asked to give testimony, because he was a fact witness on at least two of these occasions, May 23rd. He was there. John Bolton was there. John Bolton said in his book that Donald Trump basically made the connection between go investigate Joe Biden or we're going to withhold the military aid. And then later on, Ron Johnson was sent off to the Ukraine on behalf of Donald Trump. And even by his own admission, he was seeking to get the armaments that Congress had already what? Passed a law and basically passed the funding for, and Trump was withholding. But, you know, to this day, Ron doesn't quite see it that way. So I want to play a little bit of the sound. We're going to get back to the phones as well. This is not a 45-minute interview, and that's how long we had Ron that day. But I got, you know, maybe approaching 10 more minutes. I want to play for the audience. And for those of you that said we did nothing but fluff it up for Ron Johnson, just listen, see how we hold up on the world stage in this Devil's Radio exclusive. Play for the people, Fancy Brian, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, in our former Brady Street studios, February 6, 2020. 20 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, people are going to look at the impeachment of Donald Trump, and they're going to look at what they consider to be a cover-up trial, because it was certainly described as such by people on the left. Ron, are you worried about your legacy? Are you worried about how history will remember you?
No, I'm actually pretty proud of the stance I took here. My concern all along was what this does to our delicate balance between powers and the constitutional balance here. And so part of my vote was certainly to signal to future houses, you know, listen to Jerry Nadler, listen to Nancy Pelosi. Don't rush an impeachment. Don't expect the Senate to do your job. You know, you have the sole power of impeachment.
They said that about the impeachment of Bill Clinton.
And don't send over an impeachment that the American public doesn't support. In other words, a completely partisan impeachment. And by the way, in the end, it's going to be the American public. You know what made President Nixon resign is the American public turned against him. That started out partisan, but as the evidence came up, the public turned, which is why a lot of people in his party finally turned on him as well.
Yeah, but
that's a bipartisan impeachment. That's the only thing we should really be focusing on.
But Article 2, Senator, not giving Congress the information. They're stonewalled the entire time. You have subpoena power. How would you react in your investigation into Hunter Biden if all of a sudden they just come back and say, you know what, this is an invalid subpoena. Go pound sand.
So here's the problem is they would have made the same claim in terms of executive privilege, and they should have, by the way. The president has to protect that executive privilege for himself and for future presidents. Would have made the same claim. This would have dragged out for months. So what we're trying to signal to the House is don't do a rush job. If you've got a problem with something the president, you know, has done, take a thing through the courts. you know, challenge it.
But
what ends up happening
McGahn
is
what ends up in what April. Ends, we still haven't up, settled McGahn. I mean, how are you going to go to
what
court?
What ends up happening is public opinion starts turning. If it's truly a bipartisan effort, there is really something outrageous that the American people totally support.
So the next impeachment, then.
So, well, let's hope we don't have another one. I hope we don't have another one.
But you understand the position.
I hope we don't have another one.
But what's your take on the position that the Democrats put forward that McGahn, they went to court and April. And they still haven't had any resolution to that. So you have a president that can, sit there and sandbag the whole time? Well, then you take away the power of impeachment. Well, I mean, what's the answer? You talk about, I know you're concerned about the separation of powers. How do you address that? If it's good, because it's going to be a Democrat next time.
The answer is you have elections every 4 years. If the clock runs out, you still have elections. If it's become so egregious, the type of
stonewalling by hindsight.
The executive becomes
seeing
so
as
egregious,
the Republicans' reaction to the election.
So again, that is the ultimate check and balance is a 4-year term on a president. Voters will decide
again, the big concern here, and I think
I understand. So here's my concern is you regularize and you weaponize impeachments where the House can just, again, a House controlled by the opposing party, the president, can just quickly in 70 some days rush through an impeachment and say, hey, Senate, do a trial on this. You do all the work. That's not the way it's set up, and you don't want to encourage that partisan impeachment.
They would have had to quote, corrupting an election to keep oneself in office is perhaps the most abusive and destructive violation of one's oath of office that I can imagine. If the answer is the next election and no separation of powers and just go to court and yada yada, wait for the next election. But this is about interfering in elections. How do you know next election won't be interfered with the last election?
Like Adam Schiff and crew were doing in holding up this impeachment to affect 2020. President Trump's concern about Ukraine, really, from my standpoint, my belief is, again, he just went through the special counsel. He's been investigated up the yazoo. Why isn't anybody looking at Joe Biden? Everybody says, oh, there's no evidence there. Well, there's no
what
evidence.
What about Joe Biden?
Looking at it. So it's human reaction, but it was a look backward. He's trying to figure out, how did this false narrative of my campaign, including with Russian, begin?
Yeah, but Joe Biden.
There were plenty of unanswered questions that there were actors in Ukraine with DNC that might have been involved in that.
So Ron, again, that's Russia.
It's
that's
a
Russia
human reaction.
Through you,
all
sir.
I'm asking you to, and maybe your listeners,
you like
is put yourself in the position of President of the United States, just gets elected, no honeymoon, 100,000 people protesting the day after your inauguration.
More like
the
2 million,
Ron. The FBI is investing
in
your campaign. You're getting set up. You end up with a special counsel. I know I might be a little ticked off. Oh, by the way, within 2 weeks, people are leaking your phone conversations with world leaders. And then
it looked really bad.
Here you
it?
Come down.
Well, he's a terrible president. He's a bad administrator. Listen, Donald Trump during the campaign.
Tom, that is your opinion.
Yes, of course it is.
But
yeah,
about half the American public love the guy. Okay,
right,
love
but
the job he's doing.
Was he through
and that's
Giuliani?
The whole point.
Was Trump
let the
with
American
Giuliani,
people decide?
Was Trump with Giuliani through Giuliani releasing in WikiLeaks the DNC emails? I mean, did he have a take on that?
No, and they knew he had no involvement in that. The FBI knew that,
and that's
easily
why
within
Roger
January
Stone,
that they had no case,
he had no involvement.
All they were finding was exculpatory evidence. They were finding no inculpatory, as they say it, through
then
all
why
these wires.
They include the
FBI
that
was
the
wiring people in his campaign. They falsified warrants for the FISA court.
Proven.
That is it's absolutely been proven. There was
the Obama administration tapped anyone from the Trump administration for his campaign?
Yes. The FBI wired, they called it involuntary monitoring. So they wired people to talk to people on Trump's campaign. 5 individuals. And they got that information. They were getting that information, and it was all exculpatory. There was no inculpator. There's nothing. So they realized there was nothing there.
That's
they
why Mueller
knew, although
indicted
they didn't
34
the FISA
people.
Warrants, that the Steele dossier was BS. It was sourced from Russian sources. They were incredulous that Steele would even use these barroom rumors. They knew that in January, and yet they set it up with James Comey set the thing up to have a special counsel
Biden.
In May. Okay? So if I were president, I'd be a little ticked off about it. I'm a little concerned about what happened, and that's one of the things I'm trying to find out in my oversight. What all happened? How did this all come about?
Well,
why did we go through this 3 years?
Because the guy stood up and said, Russia, if you're listening. The guy stood next to Vladimir Putin
because,
and said, I don't know why he would.
Because
I mean, he genuflected to the president of Russia for crying out loud.
Because that same corrupt FBI exonerated Hillary Clinton. Completely exonerated.
See how that works?
What's that about? Is that 1 minute?
I just have one more question for you, at least, Ron. I go, you talked about weaponizing investigations, Ron. Could the same not be said from a guy sitting here on the other side of this screen looking at you, Ron? You're talking about investigating Hunter Biden. You didn't investigate Hunter Biden in 2017 or 2018. It wasn't until Joe Biden declared his candidacy in April of 2019 that suddenly Hunter Biden was the topic of all these conversations. Ron, I mean, from an outsider looking in, this smacks of partisan weaponization of an investigation to go take out one of Donald Trump's political opponents so he can smear Joe Biden just like he did to Hillary.
Mike, what I said is congressional oversight is completely appropriate. I have no problem with Adam Schiff doing oversight and exposing it, making the thing public. If there is some real corruption
problems
prior to the 2020 election, don't you think the American people ought to know that before, in the Democratic Party, before they maybe put Joe Biden as their nominee?
But, sir, did the Obama administration
not... Look at all this stuff. So, again, I'm trying to find out if there's a problem, great. If there's no problem,
but the Obama administration...
The American people need... Well, no, what the Obama administration did is they were wiring. They were surveilling.
No, Rod,
they were spying on their political opponent, the political opponent of the opposite party. Completely different. I'm doing retroactive oversight on things we know happen. I'm just trying to get the bottom
oversight.
Of it. There's nothing wrong with
just
that.
Just seeking to get to the bottom. Ron, were you not part of a meeting in 2016, part of the Gang of Six or whatever it's called? Mitch McConnell was there. You were in the room. We've talked about this before. The Obama administration said Russia is trying to influence our elections. Come out with us. Stand with us. Let's make a public pronunciation. And Mitch McConnell chose not to do that, Ron. But you were part of that meeting, sir. You were in the room. Were you not? We've talked about this before.
Sure, and here's exactly what they were communicating is we have evidence of this.
But the American people never got to find out.
So, Mike, you want to listen? So the whole thrust of that meeting was we've got this under control, and we want you to come out and say that this is going to be a valid, legitimate election. And my pushback was, I'm a little concerned about voter files. You haven't given me any comfort. I'm not going to dispute when you guys go out there and say this, but I'm not going to join that because I don't have enough information. That was my take. And by the way, it's been confirmed in testimony before my committee that was the take. So they were saying, all's well. Come and tell the American public, all's well. This is going to be a legitimate election. And it was a legitimate election until the wrong guy won. And then all of a sudden, Russian interference and the whole false narrative.
Is all well for the 2020 election, Senator? Are you confident in our electoral process for 2020?
Well, there are three ways of interference. You know, changing voter tallies, almost impossible.
That happened, Ron? Almost
getting
impossible.
Getting into voter files. We're far more protected there. Okay, far
so
more
that
protected.
Didn't
because
happen.
People are aware, and DHS is working with states. The other one is social media. You know, fake news, and that you just need very discerning consumers of information. That's going to be a prevalent threat ongoing.
20 years from now, 50 years from now. So anyways, that's the end. Tortured you enough. That was Ron Johnson the day after he voted to acquit Donald Trump. Just saying. Hope it was worth the listen. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. I don't know. For all those people that used to say, all you guys ever do is fluff it up for Ron Johnson. That sound fluffy? Did Ron seem pleased by the tone of that interview? Did we not hold his feet to the fire much, much more so than Chuck Todd was ever able to? Simply arguing and yelling at Ron, well, that doesn't move the needle. But I think, and I'm the only one that counts in this case, because, I set the agenda for this little show. I thought it was important to share that with you, our fine audience. And I think taking all of your phone calls and your reaction in real time, that's what the next segment's going to be all about. Then Dom's joining us, and we'll rehash a little bit more, I suspect. Come back. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got at least one phone line open. Could be yours. Get in the queue. Oh, there it goes. 844-967-2789. I didn't mean you, though, CJ.
So are you going to interview me or are you going to argue with me?
What are you selling, Mr. Snake Oil?
Why not gargle